back here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning at News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you would like to text in your questions, I know you have them, for Travis Thompson from Climatech. You can find them online, climatechproair.com, as well as follow them on the Facebook and Instagram. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning.
And so other than growing some facial hair and bringing some rain, what else has been going on?
That's about it. Weather, actually, it's been a little dry. Can't complain about a little rain right now.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at the radar, it feels a little soppy,
yeah,
right?
It's a day of it looks like.
But at the same time, we needed a little natural irrigation, I guess. Mm-hmm. We just all need to naturally drive better.
Drive safely. Yeah, it makes things really slick out there when it hasn't rained in a while and you do get a little rain.
Yeah. Well, how many teams do you have out right now
we've got six trucks out there right now. So.
Oh, really?
It's enough to worry about.
There's six of them out on the road coming to help people. And
yeah,
you have six trucks out on the road with guys, right? So they go out in about, what, two per truck? Or
usually all. Yeah, the service guys are one, one in a truck. The crews on the install stuff are all two in a truck.
Okay. And then looking at today, like I can imagine each of them are assigned to, a different location, whether it's a business, home, or church. So on the, docket for today, what do you guys kind of see?
Well, we juggled today because we had some things change with the weather. Some things we can do in this weather, and some things it's really hard. Matter of fact, one construction site completely shut down today just for safety reasons. So then you've got to juggle those people somewhere else and keep everybody busy. So it makes things fun for, the first hour of the day, but I think we made it through it.
Right.
So we'll see.
I mean, I think, though, too, it's good to have that flexibility to adjust to these days where you have this. You definitely don't want to be doing electrical work while it's, thunder and lightning or anything like that. Or crawling in spaces when it's 110 degree heat index. So I can imagine you have to adjust on different days.
Do your best. That's right. We're trying to get duct systems and things that are in attics done right now. And we're getting toward the end of that season where you can really do that efficiently.
Right.
Because here before long, once we're in the mid 80s, even outside, the attics are 100 degrees and it's really hard to get things done efficiently. You can still do stuff, emergency stuff, but to get up there all day and send crews for 2-3 days on end is nearly impossible when it's, 110, 120 in the attic. So
safety plays a huge factor.
Hydration, safety, all that stuff. I mean, you get up there and you can start getting delirious and everything else with that kind of heat. So you do have to play it safe and do what you can and get down, take more breaks. And that's why the efficiency really starts to take its toll when you have really hot weather. So, anytime you can, if you've got attic work needs to be done, now's the time to do it. The winter time right through about now is when we start running out of the ability to just get up there and stay.
Yeah, pretty much once we hit mid-May, we see those temperatures go from about, 50s in the morning and upper 70s in the afternoon to about those upper 60s in the morning to upper 80s in the afternoon. And then it steadily creeps up and stays. So that's not really a time where we get to do the maintenance factors and go in and check and do those deeper, quicker, efficient checkups when it comes to HVAC. I think too, though, it doesn't hurt though to call and see if there's extra time for them to come out and take a look at what's going on in your attic or your ductwork, or maybe your system is just not running properly. So, and if you would like to squeeze in that question though, and maybe Travis can go ahead and diagnose your HVAC system on air, he can do that for you at 850-437-1620. You remember the show with Dick Van Dyke called Diagnosis Murder? Have you ever heard of that?
I remember Dick Van Dyke, but I can't say I remember that show.
Wait, is Dick Van Dyke still alive?
Don't ask me. I don't keep up with celebrities at all.
Well, you said you remembered him as though RIP, but
no.
He's one of the good ones. I'm going to just hope he's still out there working. But no, there was a show called Diagnosis Murder. I think it's from like the 90s. And I know my mom's listening, so she can text me and say if I'm wrong, but we can call this Diagnosis HVAC.
We'll do our best, absolutely.
And of course, you can just text that in to 437-1620. Also go online, Climatech ProAir.com. www.tammymartin.com. So anything that we kind of need to be aware of before we continue and hopefully get to some texts this morning as we, you know, get out of that transitional phase of maybe, you know, just have an RAC lingered about 75, 76, you know, we still want it to run because it helps with that moisture in the air, mm-hmm. but then we go into the instant, oh, I need it on a lot lower for a lot longer type yep. of situation.
Well, the one thing that comes up, and it comes up in this show a lot, but it comes up also when we're talking to people, is filters. You know, filters are always, whether you're heating or cooling, pollen is always an issue with where we live. So dust, you know, these kind of questions are always, and then everybody wants to know, what filter should I run in my unit? And I think we've said it 100 times on the show, there's no one answer to that. Filters are something that, depending on the size and shape of the filter, the opening size, the filter size itself has to change, and it's sometimes very drastic how much it has to change. And I was actually looking this morning to see what I could find, and it's not easy to find. And even when you find it, if you don't know what you're looking at, you're not going to understand it. So I was just on one of the top manufacturers that we deal with, that we see at Home Depot, Lowe's, products we buy. I was on their website just to see, you know, how do they rate these filters to function the way they're supposed to function.
Okay.
And one of them I looked up is like the Easy Flow is what we call it. And that's actually what they label it as. This would be the filter you can hold up and look through it. You could almost watch TV through this filter. Very,
whoa.
Yeah, the cheapest
though?
One.
Oh,
well, and that's what I'm getting at is Shrish. That filter has a design that it will function properly, but it's hardly ever done correctly. They actually rate that filter at a 300 feet per minute rating, meaning 300 feet per minute. That's how fast the air can move across that filter. That's very slow. That's mm-hmm. way slower. And to give an example, to give a 3-ton unit, that's a very common size unit that we see in our area, tons.
How big the house?
Around 2,000 square foot house,
okay,
somewhere in that ballpark.
Okay, all right.
That filter size that they rate for it would be a 24 by 24. That's 2 feet by 2 feet. You don't see those size filters in houses.
Uh-oh.
So that's where we get this question a lot. And there, you know, somebody says, well, my filter's not working right, so I'm just going to stick a better filter in there. Well, now you're going the other way. So you're okay. starting to restrict airflow extremely. So one thing we do have is the ability in most cases to add a thicker filter, meaning that most of the filters you see are 1 inch thick. That's very common. That's, as a matter of fact, if I look around when I'm at Lowe's and Home Depot, I don't remember seeing one bigger than 1 inch. But if you go to a 2 inch filter, there's a lot more media in that filter, a lot more surface area in that filter, and the filter size can become a lot smaller. So the same company that makes that, if you look at their same airflows, you know, you could be looking at a 14 by 25 for a 2 inch thick filter that may still work correctly
okay.
with the right MERV rating. So that's just one example. You know, you almost cut that hole size in half going with a 2 inch thick filter, but then the filters aren't as easy to get. You know, we do have a lot of customers that have the 2 inch filter. We have to actually order them a case of filters per year. So we just get them the whole case, so that way they're good for the year. So there are solutions out there. And I just wanted to give that little example because that's a question you get all the time. And I know we've had it a lot on this show is, hey, you know, what size filter or what about this pleated filter? And it's an open-ended question because there's a lot of math that has to go into that to figure out how fast the air is going through that filter because that's how they rate them. But the other part that I said was confusing, even once you look at this, it tells you that filter size is okay for that feet per minute. But at that feet per minute, how restrictive is it on my system? And if you take that same filter that I just mentioned in a 2 inch, that would be okay. If you change it to a 1 inch filter with the same pleat, everything else being the same,
right.
the static pressure on your system goes to almost 0.4. Well, your entire system is only rated at a 0.5 static pressure, and that's before you add ductwork to it, anything mm-hmm. else. So now you're overloading your system and the airflow starts to slow down. And then we start seeing coils ice up, compressors not last as long, all those other things. Right. So that's why it's so tricky to just say, you know, this filter's good or that filter's good. It doesn't work that way.
Mm.
can get tricky.
I mean, if you look at your system, right? If you have that closet, right? And you open up your AC closet. Mm-hmm. I call it the AC closet.
Most of them have one.
They just have all the, like, what do you call it? Like
the data Toma sheet. City
instructions, right?
Right.
All the things. Will that be on there?
Nope. It's not.
And get that's out what, of town.
No, it's very hard to figure out. And even, like I said, looking at these documents, you can see I drew pencil marks all over it because I had to literally track out
it looks what like are you're they saying. Going to outer space.
Yeah, I mean, I had to literally follow this to say, okay, they're telling me this filter's okay. But then when you look over here at the little diagram they do for you, it's really not okay because it's restricting your unit the minute you put it in. That's before it ever even gets dirty. So it's really not any good for your system. But it does jump off the page that if, let's say you've got an area where we see a lot of homes, they can't get a bigger filter. You know, they've got as big a hole as they can get because, like you said, it's in a closet. The filter's right underneath the closet door. But if you go to that 2-inch thick filter, which is simply a change of the grill, that would give you more ability to have a better filter and better filtration if you're limited on space. And that's a fairly inexpensive thing to do if you're looking to upgrade your system, get better in-home air quality, better filtration, better airflow. Mm-hmm. That's a fairly simple one, really, that we could help you with if you're interested in doing that, if you know, you're not looking to do any of the larger projects.
Yeah, and if this is something that you're going, wait a second, I definitely need help in this area, but I would like somebody to walk me through it. You can call anytime, 850-857-4700, climatechproair.com. Also for information, message them on Facebook, but just give them a call. Again, 857-4700, or text in this morning to the Pensacola Expert Panel. Travis Thompson with Climatech is here. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning at News Radio 92.3. I got a couple of questions here. Let me get to them. Thank you for texting in. Good morning to you. Here's a question here about the coil. This is a good question, especially as we're talking about maintenance. How often should you actually clean the coil?
That is a great question, and it's going to totally depend on what we were just speaking of, your filtration.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the right filtration system, I think we talked about it along with my house, for example. I have a 2-inch media filter, and I also have an electronic cleaner going into my system. My coil is 10 years old, and it looks like the day I put it in. And we've got to get that put on our website if we hadn't already. But it's spotless. It needs, wow. It has never been cleaned and it never will need cleaning. But if you had one of these see-through filters with way too many feet per minute going through it, you may be, you know, 2-3 years, you may have to have that thing clean. So it is something that you have to keep visually inspected to know that it's clean. And that's one of the biggest reasons for maintenance, really, in my opinion, is keeping an eye on that coil, because unless you really have your filtration right, and very few houses I go in do, you're going to wind up needing your coil cleaned to keep it running like it should.
Right. I think that's, hey, and again, I'll text you some information. That way you can go ahead and contact Travis and his team today. Let me go ahead and text that to you, 850-437-1620, if you would like me to directly text the number or the link to the website as well. I can get that over to you. Here's another question coming in. Good morning. I do see we have our phone is lighting up. So if you would like to call, you can do that as well at 850-437-1620. Here on the Pensacola Expert Panel, it's great to get on the panel and ask your questions. Having that back and forth as well might be easier for you than texting in. So don't hesitate. Is there anything that I can do with my current system to help with humidity? You know, I wanted to touch on humidity, not mm-hmm. only because of the rain, and when you step outside today, you definitely feel that right. moisture. But on your commercial here for News Radio 92.3, I was listening yesterday, and you talk about how people are like, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. And you said, it's both.
It is.
It's both. That cumulative heat and humidity can do a number on our bodies, but no, also a number on our systems.
Right.
And so when it comes to really helping with the humidity levels, what are some things that we can do?
There's a lot, really. Obviously, there are systems out there that are designed to do much better than most current systems do. But if you're not in the market to, say, replace a system, your system that you have now, I can almost guarantee you could have things done to it to make it better. Slowing the airflow down is one of them. Now, of course, we have to maintain enough airflow to get the cooling that we need and to keep the compressor happy. But if we slow that airflow down just a little bit, we start to see a swing in the system's ability to remove latent heat, which is humidity, versus the other. So it when it starts removing more latent heat, it does typically have to run a little longer.
Sure.
But it also does a much better job because the air being slower going across that coil gets the coil a little colder. It allows more moisture to stick to the coil as it's traveling through, so we get better humidity removal out of that. Then, of course, you do have options like adding a dehumidifier if that's what your house needs. That's typically not something I see a lot of, but it does happen. So those are some things that we could do to improve the humidity in a current system. And there's thermostats that are available. The thermostats we put in have the ability to actually override the cooling set point, and we can tell it how much we'll let it override. So we're not going to let it freeze you to death. But, you know, if you're at 75 and the house is 75, that's what you have it set to. The unit normally would be off. We have thermostats that can say, hey, the humidity's still a little bit high in here. Let's run another degree down to get some more humidity out of the house. So there's a couple of solutions there.
Yeah, but don't just keep, you don't want to crank it down.
No. I mean, that's not a healthy way to do it for your energy bill or you.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, even then it'll just be slick on the floors. You're just, like, walking yourself into another situation, I can imagine.
If you drop the temperature too fast, you can make dew point problems in the house and things like that. So, typically, those couple things would be something to an existing system that I would look to do first.
Okay, excellent. And thank you for those questions. You can squeeze some more in. It's about 9:53, just shy of 9:54 here at News Radio 92.3. It is still wet outside, so we are expecting more rain and damp weather on the way. So it's also kind of a good day to see if maybe your HVAC system is holding up to the challenge of those rainy afternoon days in the summer. Yeah. Or I think it was, I remember a year, must have been 2018, around that time, and it just rained for like weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I know recently we had one of those
last spring. Oh my goodness.
It felt like it never stopped.
If you try to grow tomatoes, it's tough. Trust me.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Poor tomatoes.
I know. It's like a...
I love that that's what's on your mind. That is pure and precious.
It's aggravating. If anybody around has tried to grow tomatoes in our climate, trust me, they feel my pain right now. It's a trick.
I'll have to tell you a story after we get off air about the little boy I babysit and his tomatoes. It's hysterical. But yeah, the weather, though, is sometimes not in your favor when it comes to gardening or humidity in your house. So today's one of those days where it might take like actually a moment to be intentional, to feel how the air is, take a look and see how things are in your home on rainy days like this where moisture is settling in different areas of the home or outside, and you're noticing those things. You're noticing your AC is maybe doing something a little bit weird, or it's not pulling out that moisture in the air like it's supposed to. It's good to kind of go, wait, let's look and see. Check the humidity levels if you have that hygrometer, if you have a super, intellectual, smart thermostat.
Well, you're mentioning, right? We're actually next month, and I think we may have talked about this last time you were on the air.
Okay.
But our next month giveaway is a Wi-Fi thermostat that does have the humidity control in it as well, plus a maintenance for a year. So
yes. That's
something to be looking for. That'll be coming out very soon. And that's next month.
That's right around
on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right around the corner. Okay. Yep. It's something definitely to take a look at. And like I mentioned before, climatechproair.com, or find them online, of course, on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Climatech. And they're really good about just kind of updating you on not just their giveaways, which of course are really fun and so awesome that they do that, or things they're involved in the community, but also little tips and tricks along the way, whether it's heat during the winter months when we're trying to, warm up our toesies in the freezing 40-degree weather.
Yeah, well, we also just did, I finally got off my rear end and did a video, a very short video, and we're going to try to make them very short, and I haven't put it on there yet because we're still in editing.
Okay.
But what I'm doing is, and I would love recommendations if somebody out there has it, we're trying to do little short, like a minute or less videos for someone who says, how do I know if my drain line's clogged? How do I know? Because sometimes we take for granted, we say, well, check your float switch. What is a float switch? How does that work? So we're trying to do a really short, quick video. Maybe this filter topic that we just talked about. drain switches. Even I've had people say, well, how do I know if my breaker's tripped or not? I don't know. Somebody may have never seen a trip breaker. So we're just going to try to show those little small things that a homeowner may want to check before they even call somebody out to just know, you know, just to educate them and let them know what we're talking about. We take for granted because we deal with this stuff all the time, but
if there's anything, some time and money.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything out there somebody could suggest that they might want to see, that'd be great. Throw it at me. I'll be glad to take suggestions.
It's like a Tim Taylor or what's well, his name?
No, we're not going to go into comedy. I'm not. No.
Oh, come
that's
on.
Not going to work.
That would be amazing. Oh, my goodness. And you, like, with your new, like, no. facial hair.
Yeah, right.
You
see, I've got a face
belt.
For radio. That's
but,
what
it, like, in the tool belt, it could be like a hygrometer. Right. I don't know what else you need, but we can just have that there. And there, on, well, I mean, don't do TikTok because, you know, just, but that you can do these quick little tutorials.
Right. That's kind of what we're looking to do.
Love that. I think that's right. really cool that you guys are putting that together because, you know, a lot of times we go into panic mode on mm-hmm. different things and then we start Googling and the internet tells us that our house is about to cave
in. Oh, man. Don't Google filters. I seriously did that when I started looking this up this morning and everything was wrong.
One time I saw a snake stuck in a filter.
No, everything on it they said was wrong.
Oh, no.
I mean, the first like pages of Google, I'm going, oh my goodness, no wonder.
Leading astray. That's not
good. It is bad.
That's why you need to stay local when something's going on because sometimes Google might not give you all the things that you need to know. So contact them.
Filters, load calculations, do not Google. Please. No.
Yeah. Or just like a weird cough. Don't do it. Like, just go talk to your Dr. HVAC over here for ClimateTechProAir.com or call them at 850-857-4700 today. Travis, good to see you. Thanks for hanging out with me. And of course, don't forget to follow them on social media so maybe you can go ahead and win something in the month of May. We'll talk to you soon.
See you back.